Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 7, entitled Scheduled Incarnations, Text 46. Te vai vidante atitarante ca devamayam. Stri sudra hunna sabarapi papa jivaha. Yajat bhuta krama parayana shila shiksas. Tiryak jana pikim ushruta dharanaye. Te, such persons, vai, undoubtedly, vidanti, do know, atitaranti, surpass, cha, also, devamayam, the covering energy of the Lord, stri, such as women, shudra, the laborer class of men, huna, the mountaineers, sabaraha, the Siberians, or those lower than the sudras, api, although, papajivaha, sinful living beings, yadi, provided, adbhuttakrama, one whose acts are so wonderful, parayana, those who are devotees, shila, behavior, shikshaha, trained by, tiryak janaha, even those who are not human beings, api, also, kim, what, o, to speak of, sruta dharanaha, those who have taken to the idea of the Lord by hearing about him. Yea, those, translation, surrendered souls, even from groups leading sinful lives, such as women, the laborer class, the mountaineers and the Siberians, or even the birds and beasts, can also know about the science of Godhead and become liberated from the clutches of the illusory energy by surrendering it to the pure devotees of the Lord and by following in their footsteps in devotional service. Purport. Sometimes there are inquiries as to how one can surrender unto the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 1866, the Lord asked Arjuna to surrender unto him, and therefore persons unwilling to do so question where God is and to whom they should surrender. The answer to such questions and inquiries is given herein very properly. The personality of God, it may not be present before one's eyes, but if one is sincere in wanting such guidance, the Lord will send a bona fide person who can guide one properly back home, back to Godhead. There is no need of material qualifications for making progress on the path of spiritual realization. In a material world, when one accepts some particular type of service, he is required to possess some particular type of qualification also. Without this, one is unfit for such service. But in the devotional service of the Lord, the only qualification required is surrender. Surrendering oneself is in one's own hand. If one likes, he can surrender immediately without delay, and that begins his spiritual life. The bona fide representative of God is as good as God himself, or in other words, the loving representative of the Lord is more kind and more easy to approach. A sinful soul cannot approach the Lord directly, but such a sinful man can very easily approach a pure devotee of the Lord. And if one agrees to put himself under the guidance of such a devotee of the Lord, he can also understand the science of God and can also become like the transcendental pure devotee of the Lord, and thus get his liberation back to Godhead, back home for eternal happiness. So realization of the science of Godhead and relief from the unnecessary, useless struggle for existence are not at all difficult for the willing candidate, but they are very difficult for persons who are not surrendered souls, but only simply profitless speculators. So different sinful living entities are referred to. And the world is now populated with such sinful entities. Certain classes are identified here as particularly sinful, meaning to say as particular births where the culture is predominantly sinful. So here the Sabaras are mentioned, and it's interesting that the translation that is given is Siberians. Right? It's sort of unusual, because in one sense we see also in India, if we look at an index of the tribal categories in India, then we find a category known as Sabaras. We find a tribe in India also known as Sabaras, and we find particularly in Orissa, those Sabaras are there, and they are herding pigs. I don't think we should take it that Siberians is a mistake. I think they're also Sabaras, right? Same tribe, that's all. Same class. So a class lower than Sudras, because these tribal people are not following Vedic culture. So particularly, those who are following Vedic culture, even Sudras, who are on the lower rungs of Vedic culture, not following many rules and regulations. Still, they are serving superior persons. But such classes as Sabaras and Siberians are not following. For that matter, Kirata, Hunandra, Palinda, Pulkasa, Abira, Samba, So many are mentioned in the scriptures, the Kirata, the people from Africa, the Hunas, here described as the mountaineers, those living in remote mountains, many people in Eastern Europe, but also the Hunas spread out into Asia, the Hunas spread out into Western Europe. So then Palindas are those residing in countries such as Greece, such as Spain, such as Italy, and then the Abiras, the Middle East, right? The Khasas, Chinese, and those regions, Andhra in the south, right? By the time the whole list is over, there are not many people left that are not part of the sinful people. And then we see that the people in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned in Madhya Lila chapter 19, which is leading into Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Rupa Goswami. Then there's a description given that out of so many living beings within the universe, there are only very few who are in the human form of life. But out of those who are in the human form of life, there are very few who are actually following Vedic culture. But then out of those who are following Vedic culture, most are just rendering lip service, it is said. So that's the situation, actually, that we find today. 90-something, you can at the something, according to your own liking. But 90-something percent lip service only. Only external. Some quick ritual, some externals, but where is the substance? Where is the commitment to purity? Where is that? The thread is still worn, but where are the Brahminical qualifications? Where are the sanskaras? Where are all these standards that are to be followed? They are rare. It is the last figures I got on that are a bit outdated, but in the year 2004, it was published in the Times of India, and I got a clip from that, that in general, less than 30% of India was now vegetarian, but that of the Brahmins, still 55% was vegetarian. What about the 45%? I mean, yes, and that's 2004, so that's 10 years ago, so I think these figures have gone down a lot, very quickly. You'd be shocked now to see where it's at. We will not even inquire into these things. We'll leave them for what they are. But therefore, yen yen cha papa yatapasrayasya yaha has become, or those who are have taken shelter of a sinful way of life, that has become the standard. Kalo sudra sambhava. Therefore, in the age of Kali, everyone is sudra, or even less. Even less. That's the situation. And therefore, sense gratification has become the only standard. What is enjoyable to my senses? That is important, and that is what counts, and that I will do, and that is the standard by which I measure things. Sin is not so much the issue. That's an old-fashioned word. Yes, it's like, you know, in modern dictionaries you don't find it. No. Some old dictionary have this archaic word in it called sin. Some awkward word. Yeah? Don't know what to do with that, you know what I mean? Some sort of outdated morality. Yes. It has nothing to do with the modern world, you know. In the modern world, it is mentioned in the Encyclopedia Britannica, which is considered by some as an authority. It is mentioned that probably Sigmund Freud is the man who had the greatest impact on the intellectual life of modern man. Because this is the age of psychology. There is a model of the human being which is like a pressure cooker. Everyone in India knows pressure cooker. And you know very well that the pressure cooker has a safety valve. And if there is no, and it usually makes that hissing sound, and if there is no safety valve, then, of course, it would explode, everyone knows. So human beings have, by Freud, been depicted as pressure cookers that can explode any moment, and if we suppress our desires, and therefore we must let out the steam. Yes. So this justifies all degraded behavior, because basically it's psychologically damaging if you are denying your natural tendencies. It's dangerous. It can actually cause psychosis, and it can cause serious damage to your mental health. Therefore, do not by any means suppress your desires, and do not let such terrible words as sin, which have done so much damage to society at large, let these things not harm you. Oh, modern man. Oh, modern man. Just connect to your true feelings. Be yourself. So this is our wonderful philosophy, and with that, we do not have to worry anymore about sin and all these kind of things. Just Just be true to yourself. And that means, which self is our next question? The lower one or the higher one? Which one am I? Because that is a fact. The living being. What is our self anyway? There is no such thing that you can isolate the self as an entity on its own. The self always exists in relation to something. Who am I? I am in relationship to other things. Right? In the dark, I am afraid. In broad sunlight, I'm smiling. When it's raining, I'm depressed. Who am I? Who am I? Yes? When I'm 10 years old, I want to play outside. When I'm 20 years old, hand in hand. When I'm 30, I want to make money. When I'm 40, I think, I know. You don't have to tell me anything. I know everything. When I'm 50, I think, well, maybe I didn't know it after all. But now I do. Now I do. When I'm 60, I still try to act young, and I hold my breath around beautiful ladies just to make sure it still looks good. I'm trying to hold up the show. When I'm 70, it's too late. Everyone can see it. He's losing it. And people come forward to help you across the street. And the children have to help you to figure out the phone because you can't do it. It's just like, you know. Like that. Each age brings with it its own conditions. Who are we? Who are we? Who are we really? But some things are fixed. Yes, some things are fixed. That is true. But still, how much of our eternal transcendental nature is actually coming through? The living being originally has an eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna, an eternal spiritual body. That doesn't change. That body is still there, but right now we can't access it. It has become covered by a material identity. And now we have all taken these material identities. And how much do our material identities relate to our eternal spiritual identity? Maybe that truck driver with the tattoos on his arm is a gopi in the spiritual world. Who knows? Possibly that ballerina is a cowherd boy in the eternal identity. How do we know? How much of our eternal spiritual identity is coming through in our current identity? So much covered by so many lifetimes, it's layer upon layer. All the impressions of all these lifetimes are still there in our subconsciousness. To kind of join with the psychologists who discovered the subconsciousness, which was already there in the Vedic concept. The only difference is that the psychologists thought that subconscious were the suppressed emotions, and we know that in the subconsciousness are the impressions of previous lives, layer upon layer, so many lives. All along our journey throughout the universe, life after life, the same mind was with us. The same mind. Oh yes, when we were dog, that mind was also there. If we could still remember the smells, if we tried. A nose this big. Yes, imagine. So, like this, so many lives, all these impressions are there. layer after layer of remembrances and impressions are there within us, covering our spiritual identity. Who are we? So my nature, I have to act according to my nature. What is your nature? What is my nature? Yes. Now, so many people feel they have to act according to their nature. Some men are discovering that they are gay, right? As they say these days. Yes. And the Times of India says that, of course, whatever, not that the Times of India, Shastra, I quoted it two times now, but just for your information, the Times of India says that there are 90 million in India. They published that figure also. I cut that out also. It's a sort of big number, 90 million. Go, phew, a serious number. So don't say that it doesn't exist in India, even if Times of India is wrong and it's not 90 million. How far can they be wrong? So these things are going on everywhere, everywhere. What can we say? And even in our devotee community. And then you get a letter from one brahmachari who just informs you about his latest discovery, right? That yes, he's like that also. And then, what do I write back? Then I write back, no, no, you are not like that. No, you are identifying with that. You are identifying with that particular type of enjoyment now. Now, in your mind, you have become attached to that. So, no, actually, I was always like that. Even as a child, possibly so. Because maybe in your last life you already had some association with these kind of activities. And that is why, again, you are having these tendencies. But the modern world is trying to tell us that these things are genetically determined. In other words, it's biologically wired in. If there's nothing you can do about it, yeah? You are like that. Yes, it's... And the men go with the men, and the ladies go with the ladies, and the dogs go with the dogs. that's the world, right? What shall we say? And they try to tell us, no, this is, it's wired in, it's natural, it's just biologically determined. There's nothing you don't deny it. Yes. Therefore, it's all right. Therefore, we're going to legalize the marriages, and therefore, we're going to give them all the tax benefits and everything else that every other good citizen is getting, because it's perfectly all right. And meanwhile, it's fully based on lust. Whereas we see that Krishna has a... Of course, all sexuality is coming forth out of lust. Other than dharma viruddha bhutesu kamasmi bharatar sabha, other than that sex life which is engaged in according to religious principles for the sake of progeny. But even there, most of the time, lust mixes in. Even there, it becomes controlled lust. So it is lust. Kame sa krodha esa rajaguna samutbhava. It is this iha vairinam, it is this enemy, this all-devouring sinful enemy called lust that we're all battling with, right? That the whole material world is battling with. That is what it is. That is where the sinful activities become manifest, this all-devouring sinful enemy. And pulls us down. And so what to do about that? So different degrees of lust are built in. When we went to Bangladesh, to different places, I was researching things a little bit about the holy places. And then at a very remote part of Bangladesh, you will find the birth site of Advaita Acharya. It's in fact on the very edge of Goda, right? And after that starts Meghalaya. You have the plains of Bangladesh, and you have the rivers, and you cross many rivers and different plains around the rivers, and then after the rivers, just next to, at the very end in the plains, is the birth site of Advaitacharya. And then after that starts the Meghalaya Hills. And it's interesting that Advaitacharya, who is none other than Mahavishnu, just appears on the edge, because he also appears on the edge of the spiritual and material world on the causal ocean. Right? That's his eternal abode. And so it's interesting, that parallel, to see that. And then in Meghalaya, and again, I'm quoting this time, not the Times of India, but again, the Encyclopedia of Britannica, take it as an authority or not, whatever you like, but Encyclopedia Britannica told us that the people of Meghalaya, they had an interesting practice. Right? They were tribal people, and they had an interesting practice, because if a man married, if his mother-in-law became widowed, right, then he would have to marry his mother-in-law as well. You know, I'm sorry to say, but there are so many mother-in-law jokes, you know, around in the world, in the newspapers, so I think this is the ultimate mother-in-law joke. And it says the marriage had to be consummated as well. Right? So, boy, oh boy. That sounds quite intense. So that's definitely not Vedic culture. That's for sure, in Meghalaya. Something different. Anyway, just a colorful detail from Encyclopedia Britannica. So like this, we can see there are cultures that are not pious at all. It's like in many languages there are proverbs, and many of the proverbs are not vegetarian. Right? I speak many languages, and what to do, you know, many of the proverbs are not vegetarian. So, the whole culture is just so much centered on meat eating. So in that way, the land of Bharat has some advantage, because at least in Bharat, when we are eating meat, we say non-veg. So by saying non-veg, of course, we eat meat anyway, that I know, but we say non-veg. That helps a little bit, because with that, we at least sort of indicate that the standard is veg. When you say non-veg, you sort of indicate that the standard is veg, and that by eating meat, it's actually not the standard. Some hint is still there that maybe this is not the standard. We're eating it. Yes. What you'll have? You'll have the chicken curry, or you'll have the beef. And India is now the biggest leather exporter in the world, and cow slaughter is going on left and right, and in Vrindavan, in our Goshala recently, I'm sorry to share this with you, but we're speaking about sin, and recently some very unfortunate incident happened that a gang came in the night, and they, with a truck, and they connected chains to the boundary wall of our Goshala, and they pulled over the wall in the night. And then they came in with guns, and they took 3 cows, and they're all gone. And everyone was so shocked. You know, it was so unexpected. They pulled over the wall. The last thing they expected. Very aggressive, and you know, we have better security now, but you know, and a better wall, truck proof, I hope. Yeah. But so in the age of Kali, Srila Prabhupada once said, he said that in the age of Kali, India will be the best and the worst. He said like that. It will be the best and the worst. Yeah. In some ways it is, you know. So much organ stealing is going on. Simple villagers are needing operation. Yes. Appendix. Yes, it needs very much. And then kidney goes missing as well. Chala yuga. Yeah, all these things are going on. It's just inconceivable what's happening. So, what is the hope? What is the hope? It is vigorous sankirtan, vigorous glorification of Krishna. Spread the glories of Krishna. Speak the glories of Krishna. Sing the glories of Krishna. Chant the name of Krishna. That is our only hope. It will sort of, when we chant the holy name, that holy name will enter into the middle of our sinful life. And if that holy name stays there, it becomes a point of sanity. It becomes a shelter. It becomes the only thing in our life that is completely good, that is uncompromised. Therefore, the only thing in your life where you can actually say, yes, this is good, that chanting of the holy name. Everything else is compromised, you see. Everything else. Yeah. Like I had a nice grandmother. She would bribe her grandchildren. So we liked her a lot. Whenever I would go, she would give me money. So I would go every day. What to do? Right? It's kind of natural. Right? And of course, I appreciate her for being such a generous person. Absolutely. But the relationship was compromised, I guess. I guess my love for her was not pure. It was a little compromised. What to do? Who can say there is pure love? Who can say? So many films are there, you know, like the couple is so much in love. They are promising to be together eternally. But then fate has it that their country becomes involved with some war and he has to go to war. And then in the battlefield, his face becomes injured. It's like scarred and burned and looks horrible. And he comes back. Can't handle it. She just can't handle it. Right? And leaves him after some time. Yeah. Have you seen those kind of movies? I have. Yes. And just imagine yourself in that position for a moment. Right? It wouldn't be easy. It wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. The love, the eternal love that we declared, that we carved in the bark of the tree together, that we wrote on walls, and there's these bridges, you know, there are bridges with locks, you know. You've seen bridges like that in the world, where people put a lock, and when you're in love, you take a lock with two keys, and you lock it onto the bridge, and you throw the keys into the water, and that seals your relationship. And there are thousands of locks on the bridge, and everybody goes and puts a lock. Ah, yes. Romantic, isn't it? But will those locks, will they actually stand the influence of time? Even in our movement, the divorce rate is pretty high. Yeah. Pretty high. Quite high. So what can we do? This is all due to the aprarabdha karma. The aprarabdha karma that is stored within our heart is the cause of a sinful inclination. Lifetimes of sinful activities piled on top of each other, they bring out these sinful tendencies also in us. Therefore, our only hope is chanting Hare Krishna. Our only hope is devotional service. Everyone is in a desperate situation. Everyone. Do not be proud of your birth, because as soon as you are disqualifying yourself from the mercy. Because you become, no, this is not for us. Because we are qualified. Nobody is. Nobody is. It is only when we realize that we are helpless, that we are hopeless on our own, only then that we can take shelter. Therefore, humility is the condition for taking shelter. When we are seeing descriptions of the sinful, of those who have taken shelter of sinful life, or Papa Jeev, that's us. Do not be in illusion about it. Gargamuni, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, one of the very early days, he went with Prabhupada preaching in Africa. And he said, oh, these Negroes, they are so fallen. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, from my perspective, you are a white Negro. That blew his mind. That blew his mind. So I guess we have Negroes in all colors of the rainbow. We have brown Negroes as well. Yeah, that's the situation. That is the situation. Let us somehow or other realize that we are weak. And say, no, but Swamiji, this was a very nice lecture, but actually in my family, we are all vegetarian. Yes, yes. I've been always vegetarian, Swamiji, yes. Well, if you are such a Pakka Hindu, right, then all I can say, then let me offer you a Christian response, and that is, he who is free from sin, let him cast the first stone. You may be aware that in the Middle East there is a practice that if a person was engaging in extremely sinful activities, that the community would throw stones at a person and they would kill a person by throwing stones. And therefore, it's said in the Bible, he who is free from sin, let him throw the first stone. So he who is holier than thou, that is what I would reply. He who is free from sin, throw the first stone. Well, yeah. All that is, it's a bit of an intense topic. It's not a light lecture. You know, you cannot give a light lecture about such a topic, about sin, because it involves criminal activity. In psychological terms, the word, as I said, the word sin is sort of oppressive and not desirable and kind of archaic and something really part of a Victorian age which caused a lot of trouble in people. But if you translate it into modern terms, and you say destructive behavior, pathological destructive behavior, instead of sin, right? Oh, that's very bad. That's very bad. Self-destructive behavior, destructive behavior towards others. See? So sometimes if we change the language, right, suddenly it starts to hit home. You know, I mean, can you imagine a bunch of yobos and you give a lecture, you know, about sin, you know? I think they pull you down in less than 3 seconds, right? Yeah. I think they pour beer over your head for starters, you know? Right. Sin, yeah, sure, mate. I give you a wash, right? I don't think that would fly. But if we translate it, sometimes if we translate these things into modern terms, destructive behavior, oh, very bad, very bad. Yeah, very bad, yes, oh no. No, no. That in our enlightened psychological age, that cannot be destructive behavior. Oh no, oh no, 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 no. Very bad. Yes. So that's, sometimes I translate sin like that in public lectures to new people. And then, yes, then they can relate to it. So like this, sometimes we have to translate the scripture for the sinful people of this age. Okay, I think that was enough sin for so early in the morning, hammering on this topic. So I'll leave it for that, if there are any reactions. I hope they're not sinful reactions. Yes. Well, identify with the mind. I said we're identifying with a particular type of sense enjoyment, I actually said. Yeah? And we think that that particular type of sense enjoyment is going to be so nice. So just now, at this stage, someone has decided that that particular sense enjoyment is it. Yeah? It's illusion. It's illusion. Am I harsh? Very. Insensitive Swami. Absolutely. Put that on Facebook. you know. KK Insensitive Swami. You know, that can be my new title. That will go down well, yes. Now, you see, it's not me. It's not me. It's Krishna. Yeah, it's really, the problem starts with Krishna. The problem doesn't start with me. The problem starts with Krishna. It's Krishna who's not saying, it's okay. I understand, boys, if you feel like that, it's fine. You know, make it KC, cozy and KC. Yeah? No, it's not like that. Or the same for the girls who are like that. No, it's just look at it. In a man-woman relationship, there is lust. But then that lust produces a child. And that changes the whole situation into sacrifice. So what started out as lust suddenly turns into a crying baby. You know, and you go like, geez, you know, what happened here, right? And then, you know, yeah, and then it's staying up at night and not sleeping and changing. The nappies and all these things, you know. I mean, oh. It's like, and then and here's the bill. The bill. Paying, you know, whoa. That's my paycheck. That's the whole paycheck. Yeah. Ah, yes, but you love the sweetheart. It's all worth it. Is it? It is, it is, it is. Now, you never have a moment of doubt. Never, ever. No, no. Such thoughts are sinful. I know they are. But can we be honest for a moment? You never, ever had a moment of doubt? But anyway, you see, so there's a whole mechanism built in of purification. But same-sex relationships, it's lust in the beginning, it's lust in the middle, and it's lust at the end. It's just lust. And it increases lust. So there's no mechanism in such an exchange, there's no mechanism built in to diminish the lust. And that's the problem of the relationship. And it's not that I'm moralistic about it. I'm from Amsterdam, you know, I grew up with these things, right? What do you think? That, like, I'm shocked by that, you know. I think I saw these things when I was 3 days old. You know what I mean? If it took that long, I'm not sure if some of the nurses in the hospital were not like that. In that case, I saw it even sooner. But, you know, so it's not that I'm shocked by these things, but, and nor am I condemning, but, you know, Krishna offers us an opportunity to go back to Godhead. You know, like sometimes I have presented in a lecture, here's the Hare Krishna movement. This is the movement for humanity at large. Oh, that's nice. Yes, this is the movement that offers the solution for the entire world. And all you have to do is follow four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. Okay, that sounds great. So, the world is asking one question. What are these principles? No meat, fish, or eggs? Okay. No gambling? No intoxication? No illicit sex? What's that? You know? No sex outside of marriage, and even then, only for procreation. Are you sure this movement is for the whole world? So what if someone asked this question to us? Are you sure that this movement is for the whole world? Or is it just for some people with special karma, you know, who are meant to be nuns and monks? Yeah?
Hare Krishna. This program is very natural for everyone.
Is it? Huh? So, how about that? Say, no. It is natural for everyone. It is the natural chance that everyone gets to go back to God. Take it or leave it. And of course, I can have different approaches about it. Take it or leave it. So, the purity is Krishna's entrance fee. What can I say about it? Now, I can hold your hand and say, oh, you can't do it, poor you. I understand, of course, you know. I mean, appreciate it, so difficult. Yes, 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 here are the tissues. And, you know, would you like some therapy as well? And no, no, take your time, and it's fine. I can go like that, or I can say, you sinful rat, Do you know that you're going to burn in hell if you go on like that? And, you know, or something in between. But whatever I say, you know, whatever approach I take, it doesn't change the fact. And the fact is, if you want to go back to Godhead, there's a certain standard, and that one doesn't change. Whether the Swami has studied psychology or not, you know what I mean? What to do? And, yeah, so, therefore, I must tell the boys that go hand in hand, dear boys, I'm your friend. Stop it. Like our Hari Suri Prabhu so expertly can say, stop it. Stop watering Tulsi. Stop it. During the announcements in Mayapur, so that everyone can concentrate on the announcement. I've learned this from him. Therefore, I will say, stop it. It's the only hope. What to do? Maybe insensitive, but I don't think so. I mean it with all love. You know, it's said with love. Stop it. With love. Yeah. What to do? And then, what do people do who are caught up in these kind of in this kind of conditioning? That's the next question. Is Krishna consciousness not for them? No, it's also for them, but they are handicapped. And therefore, they can engage in devotional service. Anyone can engage in devotional service. But if you're compromised with sin, then you're handicapped in your progress. That's all I can say. Still, you can do it anyway, but... You know, and if it's like that, go ahead. You know, I'm not down on it. I'm not condemning you. But I'm saying it's a handicap in making spiritual advancement. That's what I'm saying. Still sounds harsh. It may sound harsh, but it is actually gentle. Because... it connects us with the pure mercy of Krishna. And there's nothing more gentle than that. Everything else can be sugar-coated, but there are many sugar-coated pills that take you straight to hell. What to do? Truth. Okay, well, first I'll go to the Freud and the pressure cooker, and then I'll go to the social commentary on ISKCON. As far as the pressure cooker is concerned, there is the model and there's the safety valve, and if you hold the safety valve down and you close it, that means if you don't allow the senses to enjoy, then certainly the pressure in the pressure cooker will build up. Absolutely. But devotional service brings down that pressure at the same time. So if we diligently, seriously engage in devotional service, then that pressure is brought down. Yes? And then, although it may still be there to a degree, because we are not chanting purely and we're not yet, it takes a little time. But it diminishes and diminishes and diminishes and gets better, and over time, that pressure completely disappears. So we actually have, we don't need to let out the steam Because we have a technique or a means by which we can diminish the pressure. That's the first point. Now when it comes to the socials commentary, what's going on in the clergy and in our society, when it comes to problems that came in school, of schools, of abuse, and where even teachers misused their position, yeah, that's a highly unfortunate situation. Partially, that came about because in the earlier days of Gurukul, to be a Gurukul teacher was about the last thing that a devotee would be asked to do. If you failed as a book distributor, if you could not be a manager, if you were useless to work as a pujari, if you could not work on the farm, then finally we would make you a Gurukul teacher. Huh? So oftentimes the caliber of the teachers was not very good. Although Prabhupada had initially suggested that sannyasis would be the teachers. So spiritually advanced people would be the teachers. So that is one reason, and still we don't have enough sannyasis to start off with for something like that. But still, it's about the caliber of teachers. Our best, most advanced devotees should be the teachers. I actually saw that during one period of time in Vrindavan, Jagadish Prabhu personally became the teacher. He was the ashram teacher, living with the boys, and also one of the teachers in the school. And that ashram was flourishing. I never saw anything like that, because he was a highly evolved spiritual personality and they had faith in him. So that's one point. But yes, the pressure cooker dynamics, in the beginning, there is indeed a lot of pressure in the cooker. Therefore, even in Krishna consciousness, we do allow a little steam to come out, right? But within boundaries, limited steam. Therefore, one can choose. Therefore, we have Varna Ashram, and there we can let out some steam in some of the ashrams, like the Grihastha Ashram is renounced, but not as renounced as the Brahmacharya Ashram. Ashram is renounced, but not as renounced as the Sannyasa Ashram. Like that, there are degrees of renunciation or degrees of pressure. So you can put the cooker on low pressure, right, and then faithfully chant Hare Krishna. And she be right, mate. She be right. No worries. Yeah. Well, we all are somewhere in a situation. In the midst of life, we are. It has evolved, and we all have a particular occupation. Some occupations are so obviously sinful that we have to stop them immediately, like being a butcher. You know, as soon as possible, stop it. Get out of it. Other ones, we continue with our work. And Bhagavad Gita also mentions every work is covered by some fault, and even though it is covered by some fault, still one must continue his duty. And then there are particular occupations like this military occupation, which are more tainted than the average job. So I think sometimes they are even in it with a contract they've signed, you know, and they have to stay for a certain amount of time. So I would say it cannot change immediately, but in the long term, don't continue in that direction. I have one disciple who is also a professional military man. That's what I advised him. I advised him, all right, for now, stay in the army and carry on and do your Krishna conscious duties as good as possible. But eventually get out of it and go in another direction. Yeah. There was one person who had supermarkets. And the supermarkets were not fully vegetarian. And Prabhupada was quite favorable, amazingly. Right? Prabhupada didn't say, oh, this person is fallen, oh, they must be closed down. Prabhupada said, no, for now, what can be done? You know, for now, just because his whole life is based on this, he cannot. And he even made him a prominent leader. Right? So, and people objected, how can he be a prominent leader? Prabhupada said, he is a prominent leader by nature. So, therefore, he must be a prominent leader. And these things, for now, we'll overlook. We'll overlook. So, in the same way, if a person is in the army and he's very sincere and a good devotee, he'll make a lot of spiritual advancement. And Krishna will not hold him so accountable for being in this job, but he should get out of it. Because the wars are very different from the wars of Kurukshetra. And even Kurukshetra was not completely dharmic. But for example, you know, in Iraq, they have a security line, and it's forbidden for anyone to cross that security line, and they guard it. And they have ordered to kill anybody who goes across the security line, including women and children. Doesn't matter. Because any child can be rigged up with a bomb. Right? So even the child cannot. So what if an innocent child runs over the security line? I have to shoot. So it's really intense. Really, really intense. If a car comes and there are women inside, they have these bullets that are this big, yeah? And heavy machine guns, and they can shoot from right through the car, from one side to the other car, and it goes right to the metal. It comes in the car on one side, comes out on the other side, and whatever's in between, it's finished. So, what to do? Heat-seeking weapons, horrible things. So it's like extremely brutal. Yeah. And it is a fact that one cannot be in such wars and just walk away from it. Right? The reactions will come. There will be reactions. And such people who've been in these wars, they have to face all kinds of reactions, intense reactions. And heavy. The soldiers are such war traumas and issues. It's intense. So it's not so nice. So after some time, get out. But then you have people who are the who become the chaplain, who become a chaplain in the army. Yeah? And that's maybe a solution. Become a chaplain. You know, follow some education, become a chaplain, and you're still in the army, but now you're working, you be a Hindu chaplain, and you represent Krishna consciousness in the army. So there are ways. There are ways. exhausted from this lecture. That was intense. All that sin. But sometimes we discuss sin just for the sake of seeing how to avoid getting trapped in it. Because we're so surrounded by it that sometimes we don't see it. It doesn't look like sin. And that's why we discuss sin, so that we can sort of see how it manifests in various ways. And that was what this lecture was all about. But at the same time, when you talk a whole morning, a whole hour about sin, you sort of feel like, so with that happy feeling, I'm leaving you for the rest of the day. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.